The Last Word with Matt Cooper.
Today FM.
It all happens here. Today
FM. Let's start with where Athanasia Leo Varadkar spent the weekend. There are pictures of him online today, meeting with British Minister Michael Gove, himself a bit of a clubber over the last week, having a trade meeting. But before he got to that meeting, Leo Varadkar enjoyed himself over the weekend. Gabia Gata-Vetskaita, who's the political reporter for independent.ie, joins us. Gabia, what did Leo Varadkar do over the weekend which has attracted such attention?
So, Matt, he headed off to the Mighty Hoopla Festival in London. He was photographed there on Saturday evening. Now, the festival, I believe, as far as I understand, you need to be either fully vaccinated or covered or have a negative test to attend the festival. And I suppose, obviously, you know, from today, the restrictions did lift and we do have crowds back at our live events. But as of Saturday, we did not. And there was outrage from the live events industry as to why, you know, we're still locked down, we're not able to work, and the Taoiseach is going over to a festival in London, which, you know, he didn't do anything wrong. He's completely free to do that. His spokesperson saying it's his private time. But I am reporting this morning that on the previous Monday, in a meeting between the live sector and Taoiseach Micheál Martin and Arts and Culture Minister Catherine Martin, as well as the Taoiseach, that he told the representatives of the live entertainment industry that he definitely didn't think that Britain was an example to follow. And that was days before he travelled to attend that festival in London.
And I think we have a little bit of audio of that.
I definitely don't think Great Britain is an example to follow. It's the most open place in Europe and has the highest incidence of the virus. They're much more tolerant of it here there than they are here, but I'm pretty sure that if we had the numbers of deaths and hospitalizations that they're now seeing in England and Scotland, there'd be a reaction from the Irish people that would be different to the reaction that we're currently seeing in Britain. On the other hand, continental Europe, all of us doing much better than us in terms of instance of the virus, and they've never been as restrictive as us. They never had these 11:30 curfews and outright bans on music and dance. So, you know, you can argue both ways. I do regret that we missed the opportunity this summer not to open up a bit more, quite frankly, because that does mean that we're now going to have to open up in the winter, which is indoors and is going to be more dangerous. But I don't want to miss that opportunity either, because if we miss the winter opportunity, well, then we're going to end up waiting until next summer when things mightn't be any better than they are now. So my kind of sense is that we need to get on with it, but we need to do it with our eyes open.
So, Gabby, when was that actually recorded?
So that was last Monday. He met with the live events sector, with the Taoiseach and Minister Catherine Martin. And, of course, you know, later on that day, we had the COVID-19 Cabinet Subcommittee where ministers decided on their roadmap for existing restrictions.
Okay. Senator Barry Ward of Fine Gael. The Taoiseach is entitled to do what he wants in his private time, and there could be arguments that he's entitled to do it without having a form of paparazzi, even if it's members of the public, snapping him and putting his pictures on social media. But is there not a stunning hypocrisy here in that he was part of a government which has stopped the live music sector reopening, and before it has had the chance to restart, he's off at a festival in the UK?
Well, Matt, as you know, we're happy that there is reopening in aspects of the entertainment sector today. And in fairness to Leo Varadkar, you use the term hypocrisy. I think it's actually very unfair because he has been a cheerleader for reopening that particular aspect of industry, and he has been pushing hard for relaxation of restrictions in that area.
But it wasn't. It wasn't reopened. It didn't reopen until today.
Yes.
And there has been a sustained campaign. He is part of the government which decided not to reopen the sector. So yes, is it not hypocrisy then to be off enjoying himself in another country which he cited as doing things dangerously?
Yeah, what I was going to say was that the restrictions are put in place to protect everyone, and they are there on foot of expert advice from NPHET and other bodies. The government is bound to have regard to that before it makes decisions, and I don't think anybody, particularly Leo Varadkar, relished in the fact that the entertainment industry wasn't allowed to function in recent times. But when he said, if you listen to the clip that you played there, that he wouldn't use the UK or Great Britain as an example, he cited specifically the levels of deaths and COVID infections and hospital admissions that they've had there. And that's as a result of much more than just the independent or the entertainment industry. They have made relaxations across the retail industry, across even public transport. So there is a problem in Great Britain, and Ireland has been more cautious, there's no doubt about that, and that has made it very tough for certain sectors, but it has also saved lives and kept people out of hospital, and that's the reality of the situation.
But so when Barry, you talk he's travelled to the UK, and he's engaged in the activities that he has criticised himself. When you're a public figure, when you are the Taoiseach, don't you actually have to suck it up, Matt, and not go to things like festivals at a time when they're not taking place in Ireland?
Hang on a second, Matt. You've used the term hypocrisy. As I said, the person who's been pushing hardest for relaxation of these restrictions is Leo Varadkar. There's nothing inconsistent whatsoever with what he has said in the past about reopening the entertainment industry. And the reality is the reason it didn't open was, first of all, a government decision, not a Leo Varadkar decision. Secondly, that decision was based on solid and sound scientific advice. Thirdly, that decision was made to save people's lives and protect us all. It is not hypocritical for him to go to a festival in the UK. He did so, as you've said, without breaking any rules.
So you can't have a both ways, Barry. Barry, you cannot have a both ways. You are, because you're there in a situation where you are saying that he wanted to open up, and yet at the same time you were saying that it wouldn't have been safe to open up, and he was part of a government that made the safe decision. So effectively, if you're saying that, you're criticising Leo Varadkar for wanting to go against the public health advice.
No, I haven't at all. What I'm saying is, you use the term hypocrisy, and what I'm saying is there's nothing inconsistent with what Leo Varadkar has been saying publicly, and including in that meeting that you played a clip of. He has been absolutely consistent on this, and I know he has said publicly he wanted to advance the reopening more than ultimately was decided by the government. It is not hypocritical for him in his private time, on his own money, and at his own choice, days before the sector reopened here, for him to go to a festival in England which had very specific controls in place. That's not hypocrisy. Hypocrisy would be if he were telling people, no, we shouldn't do this, no, this is wrong, and absolutely, you know, we shouldn't be reopening the sector today, for example, and then went into it. That might be described as hypocritical. But in fact, this is entirely consistent with what he's been saying to government and publicly in respect to this issue. So it's not hypocritical at all. And I don't think it's legitimate to criticise him for taking his own time and money in advance of a trade mission in the UK, which has started today, and I know so far seems to be going very well. It's not at all hypocritical, and it's entirely consistent with what he's been saying.
Gabby, it would be also the case, wasn't it, that there were erroneous reports put around on social media that he had taken the government jet for this particular trip?
Yeah, that was certainly making waves on social media last night. Now, as I understand it, the government jet was actually in use for a medical emergency, and that the Taoiseach travelled over to the UK on his own expense, and he paid for his own accommodation and other expenses at the weekend, as far as I understand.
Okay, another story which, of course, continues to rumble on, and as we heard from Niall in the news headlines at 4:30, the Department of Foreign Affairs has now released information as to the contacts between Simon Coveney and Catherine Zappone about her special appointment for this intended job at the United Nations, which, quite surprisingly, it seems that the initial discussions went back to March, and also that it seems that department officials were only told to draw up the briefing for the job after effectively Simon Coveney had given it to her. How much extra trouble is this going to cause for the government?
Yeah, this is really quite, you know, a lot of documents here. We've probably spent the past half an hour or so sitting through them, trying to find what's the most significant. We are reporting this lunchtime that Finance Minister Pascal Donoghue has become involved, and that he spoke to Catherine Zappone the day before she was offered the controversial special envoy role. Ms. Zappone also contacted Mr. Donoghue, seeking an introduction with the United States Agency for International Development Director Samantha Power, who the former minister hoped to work for. So, of course, we know Minister Coveney is going before the Foreign Affairs Committee tomorrow. There's other screenshots of text messages of Ms. Zappone saying that, you know, it's such a privilege. I'll be so proud to serve Ireland again. I think the time is really ripe for a change. And she's sort of asking Minister Coveney, you know, thanking him for the incredible opportunity. Now, as the texts were released, I think it is also significant to say, or as the text, as part of the FOI documents were released, I think it's significant to say that Minister Coveney said that he would have no hesitation in apologising to Taoiseach again for the controversy in a statement issued alongside that release of the FOI's. Minister Coveney saying, "I am sorry that this appointment has caused such controversy for the government. I have apologised to the Taoiseach for the failings on my part in relation to this issue, and I have no hesitation in doing so again."
Okay, Senator Barry Ward of Fine Gael. So, despite the fact that the Taoiseach and the Cabinet only learned of this appointment in July, the fix was in from last March.
No, I don't think that's correct. And you said at the outset that the job was offered to her by Simon Coveney before the officials were consulted on it. I don't think that's correct either. From my reading of the documents, there is an exchange between Catherine's opponent, Simon Coveney, in which she approaches him, makes reference to the fact that she had spoken to Pascal Donoghue, and asks him to facilitate an introduction with Samantha Power, former US UN envoy or UN ambassador. But what Simon Coveney appears to have done then is have gone to the Secretary General of the Department of Foreign Affairs, and this is backed up with what was said in the Foreign Affairs Committee last week, and asked him if there was anything that they could use Catherine Zapone for through their UN office in New York. And the idea of a special envoy, or specifically of a role in relation to LGBT, because of the Biden administration's focus on that, came from Department of Foreign Affairs officials. And what's really important in the documents that have been released today, and they are copious, so I haven't read every single one of them, but there was never a situation where Catherine Zapone asked Simon Coveney for a job, that Pascal Donoghue asked for a job, that Leo Varadkar asked for a job. There's nothing in that, or in fact that Simon Coveney specifically offered Catherine Zapone a job. She does thank him for the incredible opportunity, but that's after he discussed with her the fact that the department was what the officials, and this is coming from the diplomatic staff, they were thinking of creating a role here that would dovetail with what the Biden administration is doing. So in fact, I think actually it shows that there was certainly a discussion in March, and I think as you've heard already, Simon Coveney has accepted that it wasn't handled as well as it could have been insofar as his cabinet colleagues weren't given a heads up on what was discussing. No, I don't think so, in fairness. I mean, actually, I think these documents confirm, firstly, that Simon Coveney is a person who's beyond reproach. He's admitted dealing with the matter maybe less well than he would have liked to, but I mean, I was listening to other parties discussing this earlier, and all kinds of terms were being thrown around and accusations were being thrown around that are not at all supported by these documentations. In fact, it corroborates much of what Simon Coveney has said. If there's anything to be corrected, I know he will do that before the Foreign Affairs Committee tomorrow. But I think credit is due to the enormous volume of documentation that's made available. And I think as well, ordinary people...
At this remove, after the major controversy about the deletion of texts, about the failure to provide documents for under freedom of information when they were being sought by the media, to claim credit for belatedly releasing the information, is that not now laying it on a bit thick, Barry?
Again, Matt, a lot has been said about this that is quite ill-informed. So, for example, other commentators have suggested that something was done under the Freedom of Information Act that was somehow improper or illegal, and that's not the case as I understand it. The volume of material that has been made available, and anybody who has a mobile phone will know how much correspondence goes back and forth. All of that has been laid bare. All of it has been made available. And in fact, it corroborates to a large extent exactly what Simon Coveney has said
All
happened.
Right.
But it importantly clarifies a lot of what has been said against Simon Coveney and others is not true, is not accurate.
Well, that's
and
your take.
Well,
on
it. Well, that's there
Fine
in the
Gael,
document.
Senator Barry Ward, thank you very much. And Gabia Gatavets-Katia of the independent.ie, thank you. The Taoiseach's office has been in touch on the back of this item to give us a statement saying the Taoiseach does not think the UK is a good example to follow in terms of managing COVID. His comments refer to the UK decision to ease restrictions months ago before much of the population was doubly vaccinated, the decision not to require masks indoors and not to use vaccine passes for indoor activities or large events. Ireland is following a different approach on these three matters, says the statement.
The Last Word with Matt Cooper.
Weekdays from 4:30. Today.